Alrighty, so here we are with End Another Thing. And we're going to talk now a little bit. We're going to take some questions from people on my Facebook page, but one of them he sent it to me in an email. So I'm just going to bring this up with you. And basically the question was, Donald Trump and his supporters are bringing up Bill Clinton. And they are, I know, like, for instance, Alex Jones and InfoWars is paying people to wear T-shirts saying that Bill Clinton is a rapist. And if they're caught on film saying it out loud, wearing the T-shirt, I think they get $5,000 or something. So it's like there's this promotional incentive, monetary incentive. But what do you have to say about, this press conference, which right before the second debate, I don't know if everybody saw it, but Donald Trump had all, brought out all these women, some who say that they were raped by Bill Clinton, some that one of the women, Hillary Clinton, defended the rapist when she was 12 years old, years and years and years ago. So he brought these women out. And in my opinion, it was a form of assault. It was like psychological assault. And it was since this horrible tape came out about me, I'm going to stick it to you and I'm going to grab you, and I'm going to do it with these women. So what is your take on all of this?
Well, what really struck me about that entire setting, right? He's bringing the women, he's sitting at the center of the table, not to the side of the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were a couple of things. One was he doesn't know how to compete with Hillary Clinton as a woman, as an equal. So it really stumps him, I think. So he has to find a proxy. So in his brain, it's like he's running against Bill Clinton, but Bill Clinton is not running for this office. And this, to me, is a way of saying, you know what, women should only really be competing against other women. So I'm going to bring the women here so they can hash it out, because women are all backstabbing, awful people to each other, and they compete in their own realm. And men just have to sort of sit there and watch them, and we'll do our own thing separately. And that just was kind of, to me, one of the clear messages imparted by his bringing them there.
Yeah.
They are, these are not new issues, and they have indeed, several of them, for example, the idea that she laughed at the rape victim, all of that's been debunked over and over and over again, during the process of the past many years. And then the second thing is, the people that tend to bring this up over and over and over again, if they had a shred of credibility in terms of actually trying to understand and fight rape, I might be inclined to pay more attention.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's happening. The same people who focus on this specific issue tend to be the people who are inclined to try and fight against advocates who are trying to change the criminal justice system,
mm-hmm.
or understand rape on campus, or understand what's happening in terms of mass incarceration. So it just strikes me as really disingenuous and expedient for them to use this as a weapon. And I was really struck, I think it was today maybe, on Fox itself, Judge Napolitano, who is not a fan of the Clintons, actually defended Hillary Clinton and said, this is not a legitimate thing to do here. This is past. We know that there were serious problems with proof, accusations. This is a man who is on Fox, who is a conservative, who dislikes these people, and he just laid out a defense, a Clinton defense, which I find kind of amazing,
Yeah, it is. And it's just, I've certainly grappled with this as a feminist, how do you talk about it? So normally what I like to do is post anything that's, debunking it, or, there's a great article on Heavy that I think talks about the girl who was 12 years old at the time when Hillary was defending her, and it broke everything down, and it basically talks about how it's all it's all been debunked, all the rumors out there that Hillary was laughing about it. And what's so sad to me also is that, you know, aside from the right wing, you know, we've got this left wing of the party that's also doing the same thing. They're taking all the right wing smear tactics and arguments and applying them. And it's just so sad to me that, you know, they're falling for all of this. And, you know, again, as a feminist, it's difficult because you always want to take somebody who's saying that they were raped seriously. But just like you said, so much of this has been debunked. And, you know, I know that there's stories of Breitbart paying these women to travel. There was, you know, somebody, and now this is totally, I don't know if this is true or not. So I'm just saying that I saw a comment so I don't know where this was, but somebody had posted a comment about, Trump had offered to pay or did pay somebody's mortgage. I don't know if that's true, but I mean, this is just clearly a tactic that he's using, just as you said, to dismiss the fact that she's a woman and bring up, what her husband did. To kind of make this all valid. It's just so sickening. I hate all of it.
The idea that a woman, again, we come back to this idea that boys will be boys, men can't control themselves,
right?
Women are the keepers of morality. She failed she was derelict in controlling her person, right? And she is ultimately responsible for what happened to these women.
Right.
And that's how that works, right? That mechanism, that happens every day, all the time, right? It's what's at the heart of dress codes, like in schools. Like, you know, the girls and the women are supposed to be good examples, and they're supposed to be thermidors of the way men are regulated sexually. And it's just this writ large, right? But, you know, the this is an interesting thing because the adult women aside, just the story of Hillary Clinton – attacking a child rape victim and laughing at her is so absurd that, again, you think how do you reason with someone about this, right? Because this woman had a job, and in her job you have to represent people who might be awful people and might have committed terrible crimes. But that's actually why we have the legal system that we have, right? And she did her job, and within the limits of what she had to do, she did it well. And those were the parameters of that case, right?
Yeah.
And then I think they had an argument that she laughs during a tape recording. And I think that I can't remember where I saw this. It may have been Politico. She does laugh, mm-hmm. but it has nothing to do with the victim in this tape.
Yeah. The article that I'm talking about on Heavy specifically points that out, that, you know, it didn't have to do with the rape of this girl.
Right. But the third thing that I'll say is that this is one of the only instances in which Trump supporters claim to be obsessed with the truth.
Good point.
Because if they really were dedicated to the truth, Trump wouldn't be the candidate mm-hmm. right now. The man is he just is incapable of not lying. And fact check after fact check after fact check. But in point of fact, fact checks are irrelevant, right? We're not arguing on facts. Because facts don't matter in this case to his supporters.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again, we've seen that. So trying to argue from the perspective of truthfulness is particularly hard in that situation.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more from his name is Joe Thoe. And so it's actually going to be a question from Joe Thoe and a follow-up from Scott Freeman. So Joe asks or writes, teachers report a noticeable increase in bullying and attribute it to the current presidential campaign. Do you have any thoughts on moving forward after this, particularly with our youngest fellow citizens? And then Scott follows up and says, the way that Trump behaved at debate number two was weird and creepy. What do we say to our young people who are watching this, saying it was not normal doesn't seem like enough. I'm not a parent, so I don't have to deal with this, but I know you are. So, you know, what do you have to say?
A couple of things. I think this is a really great opportunity to talk to children more broadly about civility and other people's dignity and respect for their space and their body and their consent. And, you know, those can be very big, difficult conversations, but they don't have to be, right? You can take these opportunities, I think, to say, hey, you know, look at what's happening here. What do you think of this? You know, this fits a pattern of behavior that is really undesirable and X, Y, and Z, right? And mm-hmm. So even, you know, I think it was the Southern Poverty Law Center that did the study of classroom and playground dynamics. And children in these spaces are now using the kind of language that Trump uses, right? I mean, they're saying to their classmates who are, you know, a little duskier or dark that they're going to have them sent home, right, to some other country, or they're using slurs that maybe they really weren't even exposed to before. And that's terrible, right? I mean, yeah. It's sad, it's frustrating, but every instance of that should represent a chance to sit down and talk to students about what bullying looks like, right? Yeah. Because sexism and racism are at personal levels bullying. They're,
yeah, absolutely.
They're systemic problems, but that's what they are when they're happening, when it's happening in a classroom setting. But, you know, we really don't have enough parental power behind having our schools commit to teaching media literacy, digital citizenship, right? We're very keen on getting technology into everybody's hands and figuring out how to get public resources to do that. But dropping technology into children's hands without giving them the education and context for thinking about it only makes these situations worse. Mm-hmm. And I think the same goes for the second question. I think you said the gentleman's name was Scott. You know, the behavior that Trump exhibited, as awful as it was, is actually behavior we see all the time in children's movies and Disney films about princesses. And, you know, we have a whole genre of romantic comedy that's essentially glorifies stalking behavior.
Yeah.
And these movies are funny and they're entertaining and we love the actors and actresses, but you know, that is what they do and they normalize it. And we don't talk about that. So even when, I mean, I had a lot of parents contact me because their teenage kids wanted to see 50 Shades of Grey and, oh my God, what do I do? And I'm like, well, you know, did your kids see Twilight? You know, mm-hmm. And did they see before that Beauty and the Beast? Because the structure of those films and the messages they impart are pretty similar. Wow. So you start off watching it when you're 6 or 7 and you never end.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that actually brings to mind, I remember when I was young and there was this made-for-TV movie with Linda Blair and, what's his name? He played the president on The West Wing. Martin Sheen. It was called Sweet Hostage. So Martin Sheen basically abducts her and she winds up falling in love with him. So it's, you know, I mean, it's that message that, you know, that message that's always put out there. But yeah, you're right. I mean, we have to change that dialogue. And it's also the same idea of like when a boy hits a girl, we're told that means that he likes her. And then it's very confusing. It's confusing to both genders because, you know, you're this little kid and you hear this and then all of a sudden, you know, you've been hearing this your whole life and now you're, you know, 16, 21 years old and now all of a sudden it's not okay. It was okay a few years ago, but now it's not okay. So it's, yeah, we do, it's, I mean, your answer is very, like, I mean, more than I can say, like I said, I'm not a parent, so I haven't given this a whole lot of thought about how do we talk to our kids about it, but that point with the Disney and everything, it's so true.
Yeah. There is a lot of resistance though. I mean, you know, if you think of expressions like puppy love or stealing kisses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even I love that expression, stealing kisses. I'm like, well, you steal things that are not yours, right?
Yeah.
like, Like, that's the whole point about stealing. And I wrote an article about that once, to just say, you know, in a school setting, whether it's a boy or a girl, it's irrelevant. When one child is expressing affection and physically violating another child's space and desire, it's not okay, right? Like, yeah. That doesn't really matter whether they're playing in a sandbox or playing a soccer game. It's just never okay, and you need to teach that when they're that young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I hope that's happening, and I don't know. I mean, this election is really brought out a lot, like the best and the worst of this country, I think. And unfortunately, a lot of the worst is really coming out right now. But your opinion and your take on it is so interesting and so fascinating. And thank you for talking with me. And I hope that you'll come back, because there's so many other subjects that I would love to pick your brain and talk to you and hear what you have to say. So once again, thank you so much for coming on. And please come back.
Thank you. I'd be delighted to. It was really great to talk to you.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Soraya.
Okay. Bye, Kimberly.
Bye-bye.